So, if calories in versus calories out was really the whole truth about weight loss, I mean, everyone who ever downloaded a diet app would be at their exact ideal weight right now.
Right. And they clearly aren't.
Exactly. They aren't. Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. I'm Annabelle.
And I'm Bill Pitcot.
And today's deep dive comes directly from Pitcot. We are specifically pulling from the bestseller ebooks on our ebook store. You are definitely going to want to check these out. So visit www.pitcot.com/books to download.
Yeah, and before we really get into it, subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Yes, please do that, because our mission for this deep dive today is, well, it's pretty massive. We want to uncover the energetic, emotional, and thought-based blueprint for lasting weight loss.
It's a total paradigm shift.
It really is. Like, if you are listening to this right now and you're feeling just totally exhausted by the endless cycle of diet culture, I want you to take a deep breath. We are taking a totally guilt-free, incredibly fascinating look into the actual biology of why the body holds onto weight.
Yeah, we are completely bypassing that tired calculator myth today.
Because it really is a pervasive myth, isn't it? The fitness industry has basically sold us this incredibly reductive idea that the human body is just, you know, a simple machine.
Oh, absolutely. The whole eat less, move more thing. Like, the math just magically works out.
Right. But your body is actually a living, breathing, incredibly complex organism. And it's constantly taking in data from its environment.
It responds dynamically.
Yeah.
To stress, to trauma, and especially to its core perception of, you know, safety or danger.
Mm-hmm.
When the human body feels unsafe, it literally shifts its metabolic priorities.
Mm.
It hoards energy, like specifically in the form of fat, as a biological defense mechanism.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. So the body isn't a simple bank account of deposits and withdrawals.
Not at all.
It's more like this highly sensitive security system. And that system is taking inputs all day long.
Exactly.
Because if we look at the research provided by Pitcot, the average person has about, what, 60,000 thoughts every single day?
Yeah, around 60,000. It's wild.
That is wild. And if the majority of those thoughts are rooted in self-criticism or shame or fear about our bodies, the alarm is just constantly ringing. So how does the body actually physically react to that internal alarm?
Well, to really understand that, we have to look at a specific neurological mechanism called the reticular activating system.
The RAS.
Right, the RAS.
Yeah.
This is a tiny bundle of nerves located right at your brainstem, and its entire job is to filter out the billions of bits of sensory information that you're exposed to every single second.
Because if we processed all of it, we'd go crazy.
Exactly. The RAS makes sure only the quote-unquote important stuff gets through to your conscious awareness. I like to think of it like a really strict bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh, I like that. So how does the bouncer decide who gets in?
It's based on what you tell it to look for. If your internal monologue is constantly playing a loop of, I'm out of shape or nothing I eat is right, your RAS literally takes that as a direct instruction.
Wait, really? It just accepts that as the rule?
Yes. It says, okay, this is our reality. This is what we focus on.
Yeah.
So it will actively filter your visual and sensory reality to show you evidence that supports that negative belief.
Oh, wow. So that's why you hyper-focus on, like, how tight your clothes feel or the terrible lighting in a dressing room?
Exactly. While completely filtering out the fact that you just, I don't know, walk 2 miles with total ease.
This completely changes the way we think about concepts like the law of attraction. Like, it isn't just vision boards and wishing on a star, is it?
No, it is literal, measurable neuroscience.
Right. Because if you deliberately shift that filter, if you start consciously thinking about vitality and strength and capability, your RAS gets a new VIP list.
Yes. It starts actively hunting the environment for evidence of those good things instead.
So affirmations aren't just silly self-help.
Not at all. It's a real physiological tool. People dismiss affirmations as superficial, but repeating a phrase like, my body's getting stronger every day, that is fundamentally an act of neuroplasticity.
You are manually retraining your RAS.
You really are. You begin to actually notice how much energy you have after a healthy meal or how deeply you slept. and that reinforces a positive biological feedback loop.
And since those negative thoughts trigger the security alarm we talked about earlier, I feel like we need to explore exactly how the body processes the energy of that alarm.
We definitely do. Which brings us right to the reality of emotional weight.
Yeah, because if you've ever had a highly stressful day at work or, you know, felt a wave of lingering loneliness and suddenly found yourself staring blankly into the fridge looking for comfort, I mean, you know exactly what this feels like.
Oh, most of us do. But the actual biology of what is happening in that exact moment, it rarely talked about accurately.
So what is happening biologically?
Well, when you experience an intense emotion that you don't process, like say you swallow your anger to avoid an argument or you push down some profound grief, your amygdala perceives that as a threat.
So the brain's alarm bell goes off.
Exactly. It sounds the alarm and your HPA axis floods your system with stress hormones, primarily cortisol and adrenaline.
And cortisol's primary evolutionary function is to help you survive a crisis, right? Like running from a bear.
Right. But you aren't running from a bear. If you are chronically stressed because of unprocessed emotion, your body assumes you are entering a long-term famine or a harsh survival situation.
Oh, so it prepares for the worst.
Yeah, it triggers insulin resistance and literally signals your metabolism to hoard visceral fat around your organs.
Wow, so it stores that fat as a highly accessible energy reserve for the famine that your brain thinks is coming.
Exactly. It's treating unresolved emotional pain as a literal physical famine.
The body is holding onto the fat as a protective buffer because it's constantly being bathed in cortisol. That makes so much sense.
It does. And it explains the phenomenon we sometimes see where someone experiences massive rapid weight loss right after a huge emotional breakthrough.
Right. Like they finally process a deep grief or anger and the weight just falls off.
Yeah, because the chronic stress signals finally stop. Cortisol drops and the body realizes the quote unquote famine is over. It literally no longer needs the biological buffer.
That is incredible. Once the internal threat is neutralized, the metabolic hoarding just stops.
Precisely. But, you know, untangling this day-to-day can be pretty tricky because emotional eating is incredibly cunning.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting because people might push back right here and say, but I just genuinely love the taste of ice cream. It's not some deep emotional trauma. I just want a treat.
Sure. People say that all the time.
So how do we distinguish between genuine physical enjoyment and an emotional trigger that's just hiding as a craving?
Okay. So the most practical guideline from the source material is to shift your focus from what you are eating to when you're eating it.
Oh, look closely at the context.
Exactly. Physical hunger builds gradually over time. It originates in the stomach, and when you are truly physically hungry, almost any nutrient-dense food sounds appealing.
Right, like an apple sounds just as good as a cracker.
Yes. Emotional hunger, on the other hand, hits suddenly, like a lightning bolt.
Very urgent.
Super urgent. It originates in the mind, and it usually demands a specific, highly palatable comfort food, often something rich in sugar or fat, to force a quick dopamine release in the brain.
Okay, so if you find yourself urgently needing a very specific texture or flavor right after reading a stressful email.
Or after a specific memory pops into your head.
Right. Then that is emotional hunger.
Exactly.
That is a crucial distinction. It's all about naming the moment before the craving hits. Recognizing the trigger gives you a tiny window of space to choose a different response.
It's all about creating that space.
Yeah. Now, before we get into exactly how to manually override this stress system and signal safety to the body, we have a quick message.
Visit www.pitcot.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Awesome. Diving back in, we now know that chronic stress actively and biologically alters our metabolism to store visceral fat.
It does.
So the central question then becomes, how do we reverse this? Like, how do we manually signal safety to the body to trigger weight release?
Well, the answer lies in one of the most remarkable pieces of human anatomy, which is the vagus nerve.
The vagus nerve. I feel like we hear about this a lot lately.
Yeah, it's the longest cranial nerve in your body. It basically acts as this intricate information highway wandering all the way from your brainstem down through your heart, your lungs, and plugging directly into your digestive tract.
So it's the literal physical bridge of the mind-body connection.
Exactly. It's not a metaphor. It's physical hardware.
And we can actually control it.
Yes, we can. The vagus nerve is the main component of your parasympathetic nervous system. That's your rest and digest state.
Okay.
So when you engage in deep diaphragmatic breathing or yoga or focused meditation, the physical expansion of your lungs and diaphragm literally massages and stimulates the vagus nerve.
Wait, it mechanically massages the nerve?
Yes. And this mechanical action sends a signal straight back up to the brain that says, hey, we are safe. It forcefully shifts your nervous system out of that fight-or-flight survival mode.
And that rest and digest state is basically mandatory for weight loss, isn't it?
100%. If you are in fight-or-flight, your body slows digestion to a crawl and hoards energy because it thinks you need to sprint away from a predator.
So trying to lose weight while chronically stressed is like, it's like trying to drive a car with the emergency brake fully engaged.
That is the perfect analogy. You're just burning out the engine. Calming your mind with 10 minutes of deep breathing isn't just some fluffy spa moment.
It is a profound biological intervention.
Exactly. It halts cortisol production. Wow. Calming the nervous system is releasing that brake so the metabolic engine can actually run properly.
Wow. So releasing that brake is non-negotiable.
It really is. And alongside vagal tone, the other massive factor in releasing that metabolic emergency brake is sleep.
Oh, man. Sleep. The physiological cascade that occurs when we lack sleep is devastating to weight loss efforts.
It is absolute chaos. Yeah. The hormonal chaos of sleep deprivation completely rewires your appetite.
Yeah, because when you are chronically short on sleep, getting anything less than that crucial 7 to 9 hours, your body initiates a massive chemical shift.
Right. It spikes the production of a hormone called ghrelin.
Which is responsible for signaling hunger. I've actually heard ghrelin referred to as the gremlin hormone.
The gremlin hormone. That is very accurate.
Because it makes you ravenous for like quick energy foods like simple carbohydrates and sugars.
Yep. And simultaneously, sleep deprivation plummets your levels of leptin, which is the hormone that signals satiety or fullness to the brain.
So you end up fighting a massive uphill battle of physiological cravings the entire next day, simply because you stayed up late scrolling on your phone.
Exactly. Good sleep isn't just about feeling rested. It is a highly strategic, foundational weight loss tool. It resets the entire hormonal playing field.
Okay, so let's say we get the hormones balanced and we calm the nervous system. We still have to contend with the deep underlying programming that drives our behaviors in the first place.
Yes, the mind. This is where we look at the subconscious mind.
Right, because the PICCOT materials highlight that our conscious willpower, the part of us that sets a goal to eat a salad or go to the gym, only accounts for about 5% of our cognitive activity.
Just 5%.
Which means the subconscious mind is running the remaining 95%.
Yes. 95% of your life is run by your subconscious. It controls your automatic behaviors, your default reactions to stress, and all those habits you perform without even thinking.
Like driving home from work. You pull into your driveway and realize you don't even remember the last 3 miles.
Exactly. That's the 95% operating on autopilot.
And if that autopilot is programmed with unhealthy habits, using your 5% willpower to fight it every single day is completely exhausting. And eventually, willpower depletes.
It always depletes. Because that 95% programming is constructed over an entire lifetime. It's built from childhood experiences, societal conditioning, and even offhand comments from decades ago.
Oh, like if someone told you as a child that you just have a slow metabolism like the rest of the family.
Yes. Your conscious mind might have discarded it as an adult, but your subconscious filed it away as a core, indisputable truth.
And this raises such a wild point, because the most fascinating and honestly frustrating mechanism of the subconscious mind is that it literally does not understand negation.
This is huge. It cannot process words like don't, won't, or not.
This is a critical point of failure for so many people. Like if your internal mantra is, I don't want to be overweight, your subconscious mind completely deletes the word don't.
Right. It just hears overweight. It focuses entirely on the vivid concept and image of being overweight.
It's the classic pink elephant paradox.
Exactly. If I tell you not to think of a pink elephant, the only way your brain can process the instruction is to first conjure the image of a pink elephant.
So we are basically hypnotizing ourselves by mistake.
We really are.
If the subconscious deletes the word don't, we are literally programming our autopilot for the exact outcome we are desperately trying to avoid.
Yes, you are reinforcing the very neural pathways you want to dismantle. To reprogram that 95%, we have to speak its native language.
And the subconscious doesn't speak in logic or negative constraints. It speaks in vivid imagery and deep emotion.
Exactly. This is why the practice of journaling in the present tense is so remarkably effective.
Right. Instead of writing a future-based goal like, I will lose 20 pounds, you write as if the reality is already happening right now.
Yes. You write, I feel incredibly energetic and light today as I walk through the park. You have to really engage the sensory details.
Because when you write and truly feel that emotion in the present tense, your subconscious begins to align your automatic behaviors with that new reality.
And then you stop having to force the healthy choices.
Yeah.
Choosing the nutrient-dense meal over the fast food genuinely becomes the path of least resistance.
Because your subconscious firmly believes you are already that vibrant, healthy person making choices aligned with your identity.
It creates a profound behavioral alignment. But rewriting that deep programming requires a specific emotional frequency to make it stick.
Which brings us to the tools that are arguably the most misunderstood in the entire spectrum of wellness. Self-love and forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely misunderstood.
Because people often hear self-love in the context of weight loss, and they immediately roll their eyes.
They do. They assume it means toxic positivity or just letting go of all personal accountability.
But the reality presented in the source is that self-love is intensely strategic. It's not fluffy. Restriction and dieting born out of self-loathing always have an expiration date. You cannot hate yourself into a body that you love.
No, you can't, because the human nervous system rebels against constant punishment. A regimen built on depriving and punishing a body you dislike will eventually trigger that cortisol stress response we detailed earlier.
Right, leading right back to burnout and biological fat hoarding.
Exactly. However, choices made from a place of fundamental self-respect compound over time.
Yeah, like you prioritize sleep because you respect your body's need for cellular repair.
Right. You hydrate and eat whole foods because you actually care about your internal organs functioning well. The entire energy paradigm shifts from fear-based avoidance to proactive care.
And that framework completely changes how we handle the inevitable setbacks. Because we are human, and there will be a day where we fall back into an old coping mechanism.
Of course there will.
But research clearly shows that people who practice self-compassion are far more resilient in these moments. When a setback happens, they don't spiral into a three-day binge driven by shame and guilt.
They don't. They process it, they forgive themselves immediately, and the very next decision they make is a healthy one.
So what does this all mean for someone who feels like they failed their diet last week? Like, is looking in the mirror and forgiving themselves actually a biological intervention?
It absolutely is. The biological impact of forgiveness is immense.
Really? It lowers cortisol.
Yes. Unforgiveness, whether it's holding onto a grudge against someone else or holding deep resentment toward yourself for past diet failures, it keeps your nervous system perpetually wired.
Wow.
It keeps cortisol elevated. So the act of forgiveness, looking in the mirror, and genuinely forgiving yourself for gaining the weight or for using food to survive a really hard time, it acts as a massive physiological reset.
It tells your body that the internal war is over. It signals absolute unconditional safety.
And when the body feels safe, it lets go of the protective weight. It stops hoarding the energy.
Because forgiveness frees up literal metabolic resources that were being entirely wasted on managing self-punishment. That is amazing.
It really is. So we have the biology, the neurology, and the emotional framework.
Right. So the final step is applying this energetic blueprint practically every single day.
Yes. And it requires a commitment to daily visualization and deep gratitude. Elite Olympic athletes utilize this exact protocol.
Oh, yeah. They don't just train their muscles. They spend hours mentally rehearsing their routines in agonizingly vivid detail.
Because the brain's neuroplasticity is such that it cannot clearly distinguish between a highly vivid, emotionally charged mental image and a real-world physical event. The neural pathways strengthen either way.
It sounds like we get to be the movie director of our own lives. We have to clearly design the scenes, set up the props, and feel the genuine emotion of the moment before the body, the actor, knows how to play the role.
I love that. The body is just following the script we write in our minds. So yeah. We need to apply that elite protocol to our health, taking 5 dedicated minutes in the morning and 5 at night to vividly see ourselves operating in the life we're working toward.
And the detail is what makes it work, right? You can't just picture a vague outcome.
No, vague doesn't work. You have to imagine the texture of the clothes you are wearing, the ambient temperature of the room, the specific feeling of easy confidence in your posture.
And crucially, you must utilize what's called process visualization alongside outcome visualization.
Yes, process visualization is key.
Right, like don't just picture the finish line. Visualize the challenging choices along the way. See yourself in your mind's eye being stressed after a difficult meeting. But instead of visualizing the habitual reach for the donut box, you visualize yourself walking outside, taking 3 deep breaths, and drinking a glass of water.
You are carving out the neural pathway for that healthy habit before the stressful event even occurs.
Which is so powerful.
It is. And taking that movie director idea a step further, the best way to ensure the tone of that script remains positive is the daily practice of gratitude.
Gratitude is a literal biological intervention.
It really is. It alters your brain chemistry by flooding your system with dopamine and serotonin. Those are the neurotransmitters responsible for feelings of well-being and satisfaction.
And it completely neutralizes the scarcity mindset that drives so much of our compulsive behavior and overeating.
Absolutely.
We often eat because we feel a void, an emptiness, like a sense of not having enough or being enough. Gratitude interrupts that circuit entirely.
And there is a very actionable, practical tip from the source material for this.
Mm-hmm.
Simply list 3 specific things your body did for you yesterday.
Oh, I love that. It can be incredibly basic.
Super basic. Acknowledging that your legs carried you up a flight of stairs, or that your immune system fought off a cold, or even just that your lungs processed oxygen all night while you slept.
Because this practice builds a foundation of partnership with your physical form, rather than treating your body as an adversary that you have to conquer.
Exactly. When you truly appreciate the utility and resilience of something, your natural inclination is to take exceptional care of it.
Man, this entire deep dive has been such a paradigm shift.
It really has.
I want to leave you all with a deeply resonant, empowering thought inspired by the Pitcott materials. The journey ahead of you isn't about shrinking yourself or trying to become someone else entirely. It is about becoming more fully, authentically yourself.
Yes.
The physical weight you've been carrying was, for a long time, just a biological buffer protecting you from stress and unprocessed pain. But you are strong enough now to live without that buffer.
You don't need the shield anymore.
Exactly. You are brave enough to face your reality without the shield. So the question is, what choice will you make right now, today, to choose love over fear?
That is the core question for all of us.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too.
Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.